of the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good afternoon, this is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
We are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
And we're back with another episode. It's been a very long hiatus. The holidays came and went, and so many things have ended the old year, started the new. So again, apologize to our listeners for any gap in recording. Wasn't planned, but life has a way of getting in the way. But I guess just jumping into today's episode, because there's so much that has happened since the last time we recorded. So it was kind of picking out the most pertinent pieces to bring to you guys. So we decided today's episode is called Democracy Now. And the reason is because we need to stand up for our democracy now or we might lose it.
Yes, I mean, we fought over 200 years to get our freedom from, you know, a different type of system. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that and are trying to go to something that they not really know what it is.
Exactly. And it brings up so much room for a conversation. I mean, this is just a broad topic, but there's so many subtopics to it. But ultimately, many people have said that democracy is on the ballot, and the truth is democracy is on the ballot. And as an American citizen, both of us in our 50s, so we've been here for a bit of time, you never really thought we'd have got to this point, right? You never really thought that we would have questioned democracy itself, right? What type of taxes, the best type of infrastructure, what wars we need to be involved with, things like that you can see. But whether or not we actually want freedom, whether or not we actually want someone to promote themselves as a dictator, right? Stating this verbally out their own mouth and for it not to be universally rejected. That's what I think many of us like are a bit shocked to see.
Yeah, and it's scary that this is actually even being given thought. This should be something that should be a no-brainer.
Exactly. No, that's what I'm saying. Like the fact that democracy itself, the concept of American democracy, or just democracy in general, because we have our own brand of it, but we don't own democracy, which a lot of people do. But as a nation, we've done a good job of promoting democracy. So a lot of people have looked at us as the model for democracy because of our presentation of it, right? We put democracy front and center. We haven't practiced it perfectly, part of our experience. But that's really why a lot of people, when I say a lot of people, a lot of nations around the world, a lot of individuals in those other nations look to see how we function because we represented hope. We represented fairness, equality, even when we didn't display those things. And I'll say that again. We represented hope, equality, and fairness, even when we didn't display it. Because as African Americans, we know that we've never been treated fully equal, fully fair, or any of that nature. Like, we've never gotten the full freedoms of the United States of America. And we still generally believe, most of us, in fairness, right? Because of the ideals that the country stood for and the pursuit of those ideals. And now when you see a direct opposition to those ideals, that's where you're like, wow, so we as Americans don't actually value democracy.
Yeah, no, everything you said is true. And, you know, so there's a lot of reasons why this is going on, but you never thought we'd be in this position. You know, someone that grew up, like you said, 50 years in this country and, you know, studying government in school, you always thought that everybody who was here pretty much agreed with democracy. We didn't want to have an autocrat.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, I think it's almost hard to take such a big topic and break it down to manageable pieces for our listeners, which is what we always do. Also, just want to make a quick note. We are recording with some different equipment this time around. So the quality may not be what it's been previously. And that's something we'll only know once the episode is recorded and edited. But just letting our listeners know that this particular recording is a bit of a work in progress, just like our country, right? So just want to get that out there. But back to the topic in hand, we went to school. You mentioned school. You mentioned that you studied government. And even just in the lower grades, there was just this understanding of what it meant to be American and what it meant to be democratic, right? Without even the higher levels of thought of politics and political science, just what it meant to be an American, what it meant to vote and things of that nature. So why don't we start the conversation there for our listeners? Because again, today's topic, today's title is Democracy Now. And what does that even mean?
Democracy means that one man, one vote. Everybody is supposed to have a vote, have an opinion as to what and who we're going to have governors.
Okay, that is true. And being that you've taken political science, I've taken political science, so building on the basic foundations of, you know, how our government functions, we actually reside in a democratic republic. And a republic is slightly different than a democracy.
That's correct.
So basically, we don't all vote on every single issue in the country. We pick elected officials to represent us and vote on our behalf for those issues. So we have a vote in who basically represents us, right? So in part, that stickiness sometimes can lead to a bit of confusion with people. But ultimately, the confusion is sometimes the people that we vote to represent us don't represent us, right? That's one problem. If we vote somebody to represent us in a certain way that they campaigned on and expressed that they would, and then they change, that's one thing, right? We did an episode or two, I believe, on Mr. Santos, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the point. He misrepresented himself. So you can't blame the voters for him misrepresenting himself and basically not voting the way that they intended, not being who they thought he was.
Yeah, he was basically a fraud.
Right, exactly. So again, for our listeners, yes, we understand American democracy. Yes, the function of our government is actually a democratic republic where we have representatives who represent our democracy. But the point we're getting to is what happens when the representatives and the people that voted for them are voting in opposition to democracy. So going back to our key point, when you have a presidential candidate who says, I will be a dictator on day one, which is the very opposite of American democracy, democracy around the world. And the elected officials are okay with it, and the voters that support them and him are okay with it. What do you say about that?
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
One, I'm totally shocked. Because again, as someone who's been on this earth for over 50 years and from the United States that I grew up in, this would never be tolerated. The whole point, of the United States is to have representation through voting, not an autocrat, not a king. We never wanted that. That's why we left England. That's why we had the Revolutionary War. So why would we systematically put ourselves back into, you know, a system where one person is making all the decisions? That's crazy.
That is true. That is true. And do you have an answer for that? Like, for our listeners, in other words, we know based on the history of our time as citizens in this country that we never thought that this challenge to democracy would be strong and present and real, because I mean it's real. I mean, we're talking about Donald Trump, for anyone who's listening and not certain, and we're talking about his opposition to the democratic process. He's already challenged the democratic process in the 2020 election, pretending and lying that he won, because he still says it. There are millions of Americans that also say that. So we're already in a state of democratic crisis, because there are people saying that Joe Biden didn't win the election. He's not the president right now, right? 4 years into his administration. So we already have people saying, I don't believe in the democratic process. We can all vote. We can take it to court. We can prove through every measurable process that there was a fair election, that Joe Biden did win, but we don't believe that, right? So we're already in a democratic crisis. How did we get here?
Well, I think we touched on that in one of our early episodes when we talked about Trump Town. It seems that there's like a cult following where people, they know right from wrong, but they only see what he tells them. And even if they know it's wrong in their heart, they follow him.
Is that what it is? Like these people know right from wrong? Like the people that are supporting Donald Trump and that are basically not fully embracing the democratic values that we believe is part of this country, Are we saying that they know right from wrong and they're blindly following Trump? Is that what's happening?
Well, they listen to his rhetoric and his false logic, and they agree with it. Or they just think that he's representing their best chance in America. So whatever he says they want to follow, then they accept his lies as truth.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I think that definition is what we need to stick to. Because whether or not they know right from wrong, we honestly are not sure of. We could say that they don't know right from wrong, or we could say that they do, right? And they're lying. We don't know that. But what you just said is a wonderful answer for what's happening. Some people, many people see him as the representative of their values, right? So they're willing to overlook or accept certain that he does because he still represents them, which goes back to what we said is the form of our government, right? We don't all vote on everything. That's not where we live. We're not a democracy in that sense. We're a democratic republic, so we pick people that reflect our values. And I think your definition really covered that because a lot of people that are challenging democratic values around showing that it's not their values.
Exactly. It's very true.
Because you can like someone's ideas and positions and still challenge when they're not living up to a certain mandate, right? Of course, yes, there's a certain level of cultism where this person is never wrong. This person doesn't eat food to live. This person walks on water. There's different things where people can say, you know what? Donald Trump is the best thing since the best thing, right? But like you said, it's also a very logical case of people that he represents what I want. I don't want people coming into this country. I don't want us fighting wars overseas. I don't want us making sure that everybody has access to the same resources. And since he says these things, and since I believe these things, I will support everything else he says.
It's true. So I will ignore all his imperfections, what things that he does to people of the opposite sex, you know, crimes he commits, taxes he doesn't pay. I'm not gonna ignore that because he represents the other things that I like.
Exactly. And I don't know what is a scarier prospect for our listeners and us as we talk today about democracy now, because the reality is it worse that one man has such sway over so many people that he can get them to disbelieve reality? Or is it scary that so many people are willing to tear down the system that they have in favor of a system that they want? Because both are possible. And honestly, I don't know which is better or worse.
No, it's true. I mean, on one hand, you think that the things that he's done, people see that. But like we've been saying, they want a certain type of republic. They want a certain type of government. So no matter if he's whatever violations he's done, I like him. Now, it could be our system doesn't give a lot of choices. So once he became the main candidate for that party, they all fell in line. And it seems that no one wants to challenge him. I mean, I really don't know how we got into this situation. I'll be honest with you. If you had told me this in the 70s, I'd have laughed at you. This never would have happened.
Well, there's factors, and I mean, it wouldn't have happened in the 70s for several reasons. We can get into some of that. We've gotten some of it before. But ultimately, he's had challenges. I mean, we just went through, or they're going through, the Republican primary process where his challengers are just not being backed or supported, right? So now his primary main challenger is Nikki Haley. But I mean, Ron DeSantis is supposed to be another version of Trump, right? Chris Christie spoke out against Trump. So he's had challenges. They just have not been embraced. But to your point now, like you said, how did we get here? I think some of the factors that led us here, you know, I've criticized social media in the past, and I'll criticize it again. I think as we had a breakdown in other institutions, right, and other things that we could agree on, like there was a time we turned on the news and we agreed, right? We might not have liked it, but we agreed that what we saw is what happened. And as we started to fragment that with multiple sources of media and then social media, which I don't believe is social, we started finding basically sources that confirm what we wanted. So now we didn't agree on what we were seeing. And I think that led us to a point of there is no shared reality. reality is my view of the world. And like you said, if I can find someone who represents my view of the world, I'll support them no matter what.
Tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
No, that's true. And like you said, because everyone now is a reporter, you know, we getting 100 stories on, it could be the same issue, but 100 different points of view.
We can't agree. So I believe in the primary sense, that's why we are where we are. I've said this before, and I still believe this. I believe that Donald Trump benefited from our breakdown institutions as opposed to he was the breakdown institutions, right? I think if we had been in a better standing back in 2016 and maybe prior to that, he would not have been elected. I think the fact that reality TV took over, a lot of people actually looked at him as someone of respect prior to his running. A lot of people watched his TV show, and he garnered a lot of support for that. Not that that's wrong, but again, it's something where, you know, people started taking things serious that shouldn't be taken serious, and conversely started not taking things serious that was of utter seriousness, and it kind of flipped. And I think that's a part of it, too, where he benefits from the fact that, you know, a lot of us don't want the right thing anymore, or a lot of us don't want to do the hard work or ask the hard questions.
Yeah, I think that is true. And like you said, a lot of people watch this TV show, and on the TV show, he's portrayed as this great businessman and this benevolent boss. So people are, oh, this should be a good guy to run the country. I think he's going to do a better job than established politicians. But again, they're taking a little small narrative that was portrayed, whether it was accurate or not, on TV, and thought it was real life.
Exactly, but not to focus on that point too much, but we know that that's not real life, right? Because of reality TV, because it wasn't on CNN or CNBC or Fox Business or whatever. In other words, he was not a serious businessman on a business show. He was, quote-unquote, a serious businessman on a reality show. So again, that goes back to, all right, do you tap into the business world for business news, or do you tap into reality TV for business news? And again, we could say what's what, but the point is just that, right? If you're going to not go to the right source for something, you're not going to get the right answer.
You may just get something that confirms what you wanted to confirm in the first place.
Exactly. We're going to sell you a narrative you like, and if you like it, you buy it, you watch it. That's what it is. So I think that explains the blending, right? The narrative that's been sold to them and the desire for people for that narrative, right? In other words, I don't necessarily like the way things are. I don't like the way things are going. And somebody's speaking out against it, and you know what? They're my spokesman. They're my spokesperson. And as long as they say what I want, I'll ignore the other stuff they say.
Yeah, that's the path we've been on.
Okay, so coming back to the overall topic of democracy now, we did a previous episode where we basically said, I think it was Biden, Trump, the sequel or something to that effect, because even months back, it was pointing to these two individuals being the respective nominees of their parties and basically running again for president, and now we're basically there. I mean, basically, Nikki Haley's the last person in Donald Trump's way to claiming the Republican, nomination. I couldn't even think of it. And the funny thing is, this past week, that they actually floated the idea of just making him the nominee without even finishing the primary process, which is, again, undemocratic. I mean, she's still running. She still technically has a chance to gain the delegates she needs. They're like, well, we'll just give it to him anyway. Again, undemocratic.
Yeah, undemocratic. And also, I mean, I think they've forgotten that he's under all of these different indictments. So it's a strong possibility he won't even be there in November.
But those are two separate things, right? If he's not able to run, it's one thing. But the point is, right now, right, him and Nikki Haley are the last remaining serious major candidates in that party. And yet they're about to say, well, let's just make him the nominee now, right? Disregarding her, disregarding the upcoming primaries that she could potentially win. Let's just give it to him now, which, again, is undemocratic. if she loses X number of primaries and cannot gain the delegates, then it is what it is. That's the system. But let's not even go there. Let's not even continue that part of the process. Let's just make him the nominee now.
Yeah. I mean, that's like saying, you know, I think Detroit Lions are better than San Francisco this year, so let's put them in Super Bowl. Let's not play the game. Let's just put them in.
Basically. So, I mean, our system is being challenged. There's no question about that. It's been challenged for a while, but I guess we're coming to a head of the challenge because many of us fear the thought of Donald Trump winning again. Whether or not, as you mentioned, the legal process is able to keep him out, because that's a question mark. We don't know. We don't know. I mean, he's losing in court, but he's winning in the electoral process, right? So the court process right now is almost having a converse effect to the electoral process. The worse he does through the legal system, the better he's doing through the electoral system.
Yeah, it's like the people think that, I guess, he's being wrongfully tried or persecuted. So, we're going to vote for him and support him.
Right. Well, exactly. And again, since today's episode is about democracy, freedom, the right to vote and have your vote count, it's scary to think that if he breaks through all of these norms, and by that, I mean, not if he gets elected, that's bad enough, but if he breaks through the processes that, I mean, he didn't get elected, right? So in other words, if he doesn't get enough votes, let's say, what happens, right? We could say that, well, he doesn't win, but again, there are millions of Americans who said he won the last election, and they're still believing that. So are the vote tallies going to be counted at the end of this election? Is January 6th going to happen again on a different date maybe? Because again, I still think that's the ultimate litmus test for me personally, because regardless of your view of Donald Trump or any candidate, we know what the storming of a building looks like. We saw the storming of a building on that date, January 26, 2021. It just happened that building was the Capitol. So again, if that same insurrection or that same activity happened to any other building, we would know it's wrong. Yet it did happen at that building while members were certifying the vote. There was an assault on democracy. And that could very well happen again, because the desire, the emotion, and all of the elements that led to it are still there, or worse.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
I agree. And I think the scary thing is some of the people that were in fear for their lives turn around and act like this didn't even happen.
So, I mean, again, democracy now, because we need to fight for democracy now. When I use the word fight, I don't know what that means. I honestly don't. Like, I don't know if it's just doing episodes on a podcast. I don't know, because honestly, I don't know. I don't think any of us know. I think we're maybe comfortable in the fact that our democracy hasn't fallen, and maybe we're looking at that as a factor in it not falling. It hasn't fallen yet, so how can it fall? And I think that now is the time to even look at it as seriously, right? Because I don't know. Like, again, do we wait to after election day to see what happens? Or do we focus now and try to make sure that our democracy is protected now? Because if we wait too long, maybe there's nothing we can do. So, again, I don't know what fight for our democracy means, but it's now the time to fight for our democracy.
I think it's each of us who believe in a democratic way of life to speak to people maybe who are younger or for some reason, oh, I'm tired of the status quo. I want to try something different. Listen, this is not something different. This is something that could be totally, that could totally destroy the country. So I think those of us that do pay attention have a duty to speak to those that maybe are on the fence or thinking, oh, I'm not even going to vote. Let them figure it out themselves. You know, whereas your vote actually counts and you can actually make a difference. So we need to get everybody, you know, who can to vote and to, you know, stand up for democracy.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. And I guess with that being said, I guess we can go to our call to action, because we always kind of conclude our episodes with a call to action, a way of taking the information shared and directing it in a positive, useful way. Again, democracy now is a broad topic, as you said, as we talked about, and American democracy on the ballot is such a weird thing to talk about, but it has to be. So do you have any call to actions for our listeners for today's episode, Democracy Now?
Well, for people who, again, maybe don't follow politics or I'm not really interested, watch some documentaries on dictators and other types of countries where they don't have a democratic system, and see how the people really live, and see how all the power is pushed into one person and how the people are affected as opposed to having a democratic system. And I think, you know, maybe you didn't pay attention during government when you went to school, but if you look and see how these people are living and why they all want to come to the United States compared to where they are, maybe you'll have an idea of what system that we have and we want to try to keep in place.
That is a really good call to action. I think that really is good. That is a good call to action. I mean, I actually was a little stumped because it's such a broad topic. I think I will echo what you said in looking for documentaries, looking to inform yourself of what democracy is and looks like, and what dictatorship is and looks like, how some countries have fallen into that situation, how other countries have avoided it, and maybe just understand what's at stake. And the reason why I guess I'm still a little hesitant, even say look at, documentaries, again, I guess it's about what source, right? If we go social media and we go through our own little source, are we watching the right documentaries? So I think it's, to your point, finding something of substance, something of value, and learning about it and then sharing it.
You know, also, I mean, talking to somebody that's come from another country that was a dictatorship or whatever, there's a reason why a lot of people want to come to the United States. It's not just that there's gold on the streets. No, they were living in systems that they were oppressed or they feared for their lives or whatever else. So if you're able to talk to somebody that came from one of those places or has family that living in those places, maybe you get a better understanding of what we have. It might not be perfect, but it might be better than what we, you know, are trying to change it to.
No, I get that. I think that's a good thing. I just think, going back to early in the episode when we talked about a lot of people know what it is they're voting for, right? Because again, if we're talking to people that live with us in a certain part of the country, we may have a certain understanding, right? People that live in other parts of the country may have a different understanding. So I think the problem is who we want to represent us and why we want them to represent us, right? So I think in a way it's almost, why do certain people want Donald Trump to represent them? What about him do they want to represent them? And again, I guess I'm saying, from your call to action, if you look at dictatorship, right? Because again, I'll just say it bluntly, Adolf Hitler had a lot of supporters. I'm not saying that Donald Trump's Adolf Hitler, but I'm saying Hitler had a lot of supporters and they ran behind him. And at a certain point, it was too late. And what lessons can be learned from him and other dictators? I think that was your point, right? If we pay attention to what's happened elsewhere before, and if we can see the similarities, then maybe we can change enough minds, right? Not you and I mean all of us. So wait a minute, that's not what we want, right? We might not be happy with exactly the way things are now, but we don't want to go there. So that's why I think, yeah, your call to action is on target, as, okay, we might not be sure where we are is right, but we know we don't want to go there. And I think we have to understand what there is to know we don't want to go there. So I'll echo your call to action to study democracy, study dictatorships, see what we have and see what that is, and really come to understanding of what you want.
Well said.
Same to you. I mean, honestly, like you said, never thought we'd do a real pure episode about democracy itself. Like, democracy needs to be defended. But we do. We are. So I think ultimately we have to keep this conversation going, as you said, share information with other people. and do our best to defend democracy. I think that's what it comes down to. Right now, we're trying to defend democracy, defend ourselves, our lives, our country. And I guess whatever that means, what we have to do.
Yes, indeed, my brother.
All right. Well, for our listeners, today's episode was Democracy Now. I am Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rappers so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to, I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.